dressing for bed. Severe storm warnings, freezing rain, lake effect snows, sub-zero wind chills. In a northern city, an older lady who hates the cold is dressing for bed. She has prayed for restful sleep and to wake refreshed in the morning. She has filled 2 hot water bottles, slid them between the sheets, and is sitting on the edge of her bed. She slips into long underwear, removes the lint from between her toes, and slides her feet into white cotton socks, rolling them carefully up over the long underwear. She slides fingertips into the socks, smoothing them. She puts on navy knee socks and pink polyester pajama bottoms. She is wearing a burnt orange t-shirt over turquoise sweater over pink t-shirt, and puts on a large sweater, lamb's wool, angora, and rabbit hair in apple green. It is full of moth holes. It has a cowl neck and sleeves that dangle over the fingertips. Her top sweater is a thick, baggy, dark red shag with silver metallic. She pushes back the very long sleeves of the apple green sweater, massages her hands with soothing cream, and slides on wine red fingerless gloves. She likes the effect of apple green with red sweater and the darker wine of gloves. It reminds her of red roses, a summer garden. She removes hot water bottles from bed and tunnels her way under 5 Afghans, smoothing the sweaters around her hips and rests her right leg on 2 pillows. She pulls the cowl over her head, balls up the ends of the green sweater sleeves, forming mittens, and resting, waits for sleep. The head of the bed is the west wall. A gentle breeze from the heating vent blows the window curtain. She slides into slumber to the lullaby of 40-mile-an-hour winds, knowing that in the Arctic, somewhere, a person could sleep in animal skins, snug and warm, fur caressing her naked body, in a candlelit room deep underground, a temple cave.
Thank you, Lucille. And I think you have some books. If somebody wants to buy one, you got a couple extra dollars, Lucille will sign it for you, I'm sure. Okay. This looks like Daniel Boylan. I think I pronounced her Daniel.
Good evening. And this is my first time, and depending on how you feel, maybe my last, who knows? I have no idea what I was going to read, but we'll take a shot at this one. I call it Old Math. In parentheses, 5 times 2 equals 1. I am awake, though my eyes are still closed. Just laying here, again enjoying the gift of yet another morning. Looking through the red of my inner eyelids and being able to see the muted beauty of this light, I know I am blessed. I drift in recognition of the fragrances of all that is alive, painted in the hues borrowed from yesterday's rainbow, natural and all intermingled, wafting on the gentlest of breeze. I feel love surrounding me. As birds serenade the gift of life, their songs accompany the total peace in my soul, as can only exist here in my Eden. And happiness envelops my being, as her touch signals the impending taste of lips that have kissed only that which have provided what we believe is the nectar of the gods, and are now designated to kiss only me. I open my eyes to behold a smile mirrored in symmetry, perfectly positioned in a most angelic visage, and warmth emanated in tandem, penetrating the depths of two hearts, and our happiness rises to its apex as the accompanying love intensifies to the nth degree. We are complete. We are each other's purpose. We have become one in the life that God has given. We, you and I, are equal to one.
Well, I assure you, after hearing that, you come up here read every week, as far as I'm concerned. You can read the box of a Mother's Oats box. You got a cool voice, man. You're like a kind of that Barry White kind of guy. That's cool. There you go. Hey, that was a nice poem, man. They, just when you're not looking, too, them little Dickens. Okay, here we go. But good read, man. Bobby, where you at? Bob?
Okay, this is called Take the Money. Can everyone hear me? Okay. Sometimes when he was too weak, he would give me the money to get medicine for his kids. The 20 would be folded over into a thin strip like a stick of gum. The numerals 2 and 0 visible between the crest of green leaves, the pyramid, the burning eye. You could smell in the gleaming ink its printed newness, a recent trip to the bank, his willingness to be a father before the blood transfusions. I sat on the arm of a chair laid over with the blankets of stained flowers where he slept. Take the money, he'd say, and I'd say no and leave. And the six-year-old would ask me if she could come, tugging and poking me, saying she always wanted a ride in my truck. She said nothing on the way, her shoes swinging, pink laces pulled up in a smile, her untied tennies. The coat I told her to zip up with a broken zipper. The stained sleeves I noticed. I took her hand, buckled her in, turning the wipers on to intermittent, the sleet falling, the silence of the windshield, the glass door barrier between us and the cold. Needing only the pharmacist now, I thought only the pharmacist can save us. And when he asked about her history, her allergies, her sensitivities, and I said to him that she wasn't my child. There were the silences after that, like the emptiness between the ends of words, like the moments almost when I could hear it in the truck, later driving back, the street light flashing her face, the sound of her breathing, inchworm body curled up, nestled in as if in a womb, the canvas seat that held her, like God's palm. The misted windshield above her, drifting constellations, Cancer, the scales, Aquarius, the moon sweeping away into the black. She slept, and I waited for a moment by her house, the tall weeds, the crickets, her broken front door steps. She lay sunk in that carpeted seat, and I didn't want to tell her the desire in her I saw, innateness, dreaming under the stars in my pickup truck, the watered-down language of her body, the wanting to be born again, the wanting to wake up as someone different. I carried her to the door, waited for her father to answer, the moon, brighter now, washing away the details of her face. Thanks.